When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Utah Football Fans Podcast, and happy Halloween. Gary's over here on a sugar high.
Freaking high over here. He's going to crash in like 20 minutes.
I know.
Hope
everyone... That's what happens when you hand them out.
Yeah, you
For
eat
every
them.
Two you hand out, you snarf one.
Yeah. Hopefully you all had a and safe Halloween.
Could be that Red Bull ahead, too, though.
Jeez. I think that's probably it.
Red Bull and 7,000 M&Ms.
Yeah.
Cool. You're going to crash in about an hour.
I have some M&Ms.
I'm eating mine right now.
I swear these are 2015. I bet that's when they were made.
They're pretty good to me.
Okay.
He had some stale ones earlier. Anyways.
M&Ms go stale?
Ew, yeah.
I'll give you a couple.
Haven't you ever had a stale M&M?
Probably. I just ate it anyway.
They're bad. Thank you to, speaking of sugar, thank you to Thomas Orthodontics.
That is a segue right there, people.
That is a segue.
True.
Look him up at thomasortho.com. Please like, subscribe, share, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'd love to have you. It feels like the game we played against Washington State was like forever ago.
It's been a month since we last played a football game, it feels like.
And it kind of felt like
you
that.
Think so?
It felt like that game was like a dream, like it didn't really happen.
I don't know. It's more like, wow, you survived it.
It was a miracle.
It was a very...
I mean, yeah.
Unsatisfying win, if I had to say. Like, I don't know. It just felt like... I don't know the word.
It was like I was watching a team I didn't recognize.
It was weird.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because it was.
Okay, yeah, I mean, for me, it's... Okay, let's just go for it. Washington State, Utah. Yeah, 21-17. It was a survival.
Yeah.
Look... Break it down. Here's how I look at it. I mean, the bigger picture, I mean, I don't know. How am I going to say it? First of all, we didn't have Cam. 45 minutes before game time, what I understand it, is Barnes is going to play. Okay. Now, Batten, so that was that. Not having Cam is a big, big deal. Well, what we didn't know, but what was going to be happening, is that... Of course, Thomas didn't travel, and Bernard had been injured at USC, who was there. He gave it a go on a couple of series and didn't play.
Yeah,
really.
Super limited.
So what you've got, so what happens is Cam Rising's out 45 minutes before game. We don't have our one and number one and number two backs, and so we have our three and four backs. Our four back...
Is a quarterback
who has been converted to a running back because Curry got hurt.
Yeah, earlier.
Who was actually our third running back, but he got hurt earlier in the season. And then with some of the issues with Thomas, that's why Jackson's the running back. So our backfield is Barnes, who has never started a college game. Glover, the freshman, who's had limited time, and a converted quarterback as the other running back. So,
hey, to be fair, Jackson played running back in like junior high school.
I take it all back.
There you go. So just, yes. He's got some experience back.
So
there.
There's that. And then, and then Kincaid is out in the fourth quarter because he gets his shoulder hurt.
Please be okay.
Okay, so.
Please be okay.
Having said all that, that's playing out before me, yeah, it was an ugly game, but I'm not sure I could expect anything else. But I'm going on the positive side of it is under all of that, which I don't know if any team could handle that.
No.
We beat Washington State on their field.
Uh-huh.
And they're a good football team. Yeah, are they superior? No, but we went up there and beat them with all of that. So, hey, man.
Well, that's the thing is, college football fans, I mean, we've been fans long enough, you always know there's going to be injuries on your team. Every year, there's going to be injuries you got to deal with. I've never seen it happen where basically your entire first string offense is just decimated. Like, all at the same time, the same week. I mean, Keithy was a few weeks ago and Curry was a few weeks ago, but for one game that all of a sudden you don't have anybody back there?
Backfield.
I've never seen that before. And no. So you're right, like, to then go out and still put up points. It wasn't pretty, but we did it. I mean, that says a lot.
I think that Whittingham watched the film on Washington State and just said, you know what? We can beat these guys with our entire second string.
Yeah,
and third and fourth. And third and fourth string. So we're just going to give them a little bit longer rest period and go up to Pullman. And
that's your conspiracy
theory.
That's
my
theory.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the case according to Witt, but
that was the. I mean, it was the whole situation. Nobody knew, right?
Nobody knew.
They're showing the warm ups and Cam's out there, and all of a sudden Bryson trots out, and we're all kind of sitting there going, "Okay, is it a one series thing?
Like a trick play or something?
What'd he do? Okay, say something, and so now he's benched for a bit.
Did he say something? Was he out partying in Pullman the night before? Like, what's going on? And then second quarter, same thing. And then I think all of us were like, okay, we get it. Put him back. Put him in after halftime. Put him in. But look, credit to the man from Milford. Honestly,
pig farmer is his nickname or something. It's a horrible nickname.
We
got to
get something better than that. But
yeah, man, I love it.
Credit, dude. The guy has done, he's been thrown in.
We did a shirt, man. The pig farmer.
I'm sure this probably exists. The guy has had two chances to play. One, he's thrust into the freaking Rose Bowl. Throws a touchdown to tie the football game. And then this, 45 minutes before kickoff, Coach Witt taps him on the shoulder and goes, hey, you're starting. Oh, by the way, this is a must win for us if we want to continue to be in the chance for the Pac-12 championship game. Good luck.
That's actually the most important. We couldn't lose this game.
It was a must win. Right. Everything this point forward is must win, including Thursday. And the guy went out and
we should have lost.
Played. You know what, though?
Well, yeah.
He played really well, considering he had some big third down conversions. He ran the ball when he needed to. He hit Dixon a couple times. Like, is he Cam Rising? Not even close. But hey,
yeah, well,
credit.
That's
great work, man.
They always talk about the next man up philosophy. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that nice buzzword that you always hear. But this situation that's what it means. And he didn't get the practice during the week. He wasn't, the team wasn't practicing around Bryson Barnes all week long. And Utah football, you know, put out the like recap video on social media the other day. And there's a clip of Whittingham in the locker room just going, Cam's not playing tonight, and you watch the players, and it's like...
I haven't seen that.
I mean, either. I think they're feeling the same way.
Where was that posted?
Social media. It's just like the...
I haven't seen it. I haven't been on social media much
like
today.
I think from yesterday they posted it on Sunday, but I think it was like all of us. It's like, wait, what do you mean Cam's not playing? Because it was 45 minutes before kickoff, and it was Cam saying he didn't feel like he could do it.
Yeah, it was him. He made the call.
And according to Whittingham, when Cam says that, you listen to him because Cam's very competitive. He's not going to be the type that's just going to not go in. I guarantee he was just on the sideline, like, itching to do it, but he just felt like he couldn't play. And so, but credit, he's out there. He was still in his pads. I mean, that's what was so confusing for all of us. We're like, he's there. He's dressed. He has his pads on. He warmed up. What is going on?
Shoulder pads are on. It's almost like all you got to do is put that helmet on and go in. Yeah. But Cam is, he's the dude, right? Whittingham said this. Cam comes to you and says, I can't go. You don't question it, right? And I think that most guys that are playing college football, if they say they can't go, I'm going to believe them. But Cam's at a different level. But the guy is such a leader that if you watch that game back, every single time that Barnes comes off the field, whether he incompletion, third and out, or third, you know, punt, touchdown, that miss handoff that could have cost us the game, first dude right at Bryson Barnes, Cam Rising. Smile on his face, happy, ready to go, helping him out. Like, such a leader. It's really pretty cool to see that kind of leadership on your team. I love it.
Yeah, okay. So props to all of those guys, the offense, who came in. Absolutely. However,
impossible situation, yeah.
Props to the defense, because the defense, that's why we won the game.
Scally. Oh. Scally.
If you sit by us in the north end zone, you know what I'm talking about. Should I just rip down a couple stats?
Scally.
So our defense stepped up.
Defense looked. Now, they played.
They've had some criticism. We've criticized them legitimately. They had some issues. But this game, they stepped up, man. For instance, first downs, Washington State only had 14 first downs. They were 3 for 10 on third down. Jeez. Is all.
That's bad.
0-for-2 on fourth down. They only had 264 total yards of offense. We stifled them. Passing was only 222 yards.
I did see one thing, though. Their completion percentage was through the roof. But
he threw a
4-yard just little boom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go 200-for-200 on that, but you're going to have 6 yards. So I don't care about that.
The thing is, though, in rushing, of course, they only had 42 yards. Of course, they don't rush anyway.
They don't rush it, yeah.
However, you just go down the list, and the defense kicked their butt. And actually, we needed it. Because Washington State, I think as I recall, they averaged 28 points a game or something like that.
Yeah.
Roughly 28. They only got 17 against us. Again, it was at home. I don't know, man. The defense...
Things were...
Took it to them.
Yeah, things were clicking better with the defense. It just felt like they... I don't know. It looked different than maybe some of the other games we played earlier this season, but... Yeah, I mean, without them... Because our offense wasn't scoring like we have been the rest of the season because, like we said, we didn't have our first-string offensive players. So the defense, they stepped up. Well, they looked good.
The biggest part for me was the fumble... Right, we were up 21-14 late in the fourth quarter. We fumble the ball, and I think on our own 35-yard line or something like that. Defense had just been out, comes out, stops him, holds it to a field goal. We get the ball, game over. I learned something this last week that I think is pretty interesting. I didn't know this going into it, but the defense has received a lot of criticism, and I think we've kind of talked about this throughout the year. A lot of youth. Okay, a lot of freshmen and sophomores playing. This is a pretty crazy stat. Utah has the sixth youngest starting 22, if you will, offensive defense, out of all the Power 5 teams. The sixth youngest.
Where'd you hear that? Remember?
I think it came from Scott Mitchell was the one that said it. I believe is where I heard that. There's going to be some growing pains. But this game was kind of that game that clicked a little bit for me. They went, man, they're starting to put some things together. They're going to start, you know, we got some games here.
Actually.
You know, when you look at the last four games, Utah went 3-1 against a really hard schedule, right? And now we have some games that are very, very winnable. We're in a really good spot.
I was just going to say, then maybe we should move on to Arizona. I mean, that's what's up on us. But which kind of shows what our defense did, is the QBR for the game. It's interesting to look at it.
Yeah, please tell me who had a higher QBR.
So Cam Ward with Washington State was 63.6. That's bad. Our defense took him. So he may have had a good percentage, but scoring, and in other words, the whole picture, he was only 63, basically 64 QBR. Bryson Barnes, it was an 87.5. It's not fantastic. It's okay. It's good. But so when you put it together.
87.5 for a guy who's never played and got tapped on the shoulder as he's running out of the tunnel to go,
yeah, you go.
Put a headset on.
You're on, buddy.
By the way, you're playing the whole game.
He probably went over to the sideline, grabbed his Gatorade, had his headset on, and Whit's like, what are you doing? You're
going to play. Anyway, we won, and we needed it. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, when all this unfolded before me and I'm watching this game and it was frustrating, there's no question about it, because if we would have had our full complement of guys, I'm not talking about Keithy, none of that stuff. I'm just saying for this game, if we would have had Thomas and we'd have Bernard and nothing happened to Kincaid, so the full complement, we would have slaughtered these guys 41, 44 to 17 or 20. That's how I look at it.
Oh, easy.
But having said all that, I'm just saying, when I'm sitting there watching this, I thought, dang, man, this isn't looking good.
No, I was just watching it going, I can't believe this is the way our season's going to end. I mean,
we're still in it, man.
That's realistic, but that's just what I was feeling. But hey, kept it together.
And so, here we go, Saturday at 5:30. Rice Eccles against Arizona. This is scary for me in this regard. Of course, who's going to play?
That's the question. We don't know.
There's the question. We have no idea. Is not that the question?
Rising? No idea. Kincaid? No idea. Thomas? Bernard? No idea. No idea. None of them are season ending, so Whit doesn't talk about it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all we know.
We don't know. Now,
but that's the huge positive coming out of Saturday, especially, or Thursday.
Which is
Thursday.
Even better, because they got 2 extra days of rest.
Especially with Kincaid, because when he went down on that shoulder. Oh,
you can have my shoulder.
I know, just cut it out.
Just take this one.
I mean, yours isn't as good.
Mine's old.
Yours isn't as good as his. But, I mean, you could see the pain on his face when he went down. But it's not season ending, whatever that means. But we have no idea if he will play. We don't know if Cam will play. We don't know if Bernard. We don't know.
It makes me really nervous. It makes looking ahead at this game impossible.
We were at the Arizona game
last year.
Last year.
Oh, shoot me.
And
that was bad.
I'm just saying, it was a battle to the end, and we won.
And Arizona's better now than they were then.
Absolutely. And see, this is the thing: Arizona, they are only, what's their record right now? 1-4.
In conference.
They're 3-5, 1-4 in conference. They beat San Diego State, lost to Mississippi State, 39-17. They beat North Dakota State, lost to Cal, beat Colorado, lost to Oregon handily, lost Washington State, and the USC game.
Hey, that USC game.
They gave them a good battle. But my point is, Arizona is not a good team. But they've got a good offense, man.
Yes, they do.
In fact, I think they lead the league.
In total offense?
In total offense. They're a pass first. But here's their stats.
So real fast, when you're looking that up, they're extremely similar to what we just watched this last week. But they don't do that, like, run-pass option sort of a thing. That Washington State does. They're more just get the ball out quick and let their guys do things, which can lead to challenges, especially when you play man-to-man like Utah does. They get the ball out quick, you miss a tackle, it's a 40-yard gain. So, they're dangerous. Yeah. This is not Arizona of last year or 2 years ago. They're getting better.
So they average 475 yards a game.
Okay.
Passing yards per game, 340. Rushing yards, per game, 135. They're a pa- There's a balance
to it. A lot more rush than I would have expected.
Yeah, they're a better rushing team than Washington State in that regard. So here's how I break it down, really, is that Arizona has a good offense. Decent offense. The thing is, their defense hasn't been that good, so other teams have been able to outscore them.
You know, it's wild. They average 475 yards a game on offense. They average giving up 475 a
that's
game.
That's what I'm saying. See, that's
really?
Yeah.
That's if you look weird. At the stats, is their offense is like, oh, excellent, but their defense is that. And so, okay, yeah. if we have our guys and our defense plays good, we're gonna win. Yeah. But what worries me goes back to how we started this conversation is what I'm saying is it feels like they're going to score more points than Washington State, and we're going to have to score more than we just did. And if we don't have our full complement, it's a scary game for us, even though it's at home.
It's at home, which it's a yeah. big factor. And hopefully we know more. We can have more game prep than 45 minutes. So going into this, hopefully they know, like right now, if, you know, those running backs can play or if Cam can play, so they can kind of build around that. But I agree. This game makes me nervous. If we have all of our guys, I think we beat them by 21.
Yeah, I don't worry about it. You always worry, but
you always worry, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm looking at our leading passer, rusher, receiver. They're all question marks for this game, so I don't know.
I haven't really watched. The only game I've watched Arizona play was this last weekend against USC. And
pretty good, actually.
It's so their quarterback is Delara, who played for Washington State last year.
Correct.
What I'll say watching him against USC is he made some horrible decisions.
Clark Phillips time, let's go.
Well, like just watching him whenever he would get pressure, I mean, he made horrible, like looked like a rookie freshman, didn't know what he was doing kind of decisions. So hopefully our defense can capitalize on that. They have very good receivers. Some of their receivers made unbelievable catches against USC on Saturday. So I don't know. It's. I think our defense will be able to keep up with them and stop them if Delora makes those same decisions he was making against USC. But it is. This game is so hard to even analyze or look forward to because we don't know who's going to be playing.
I remember him coming into Rice-Eccles last year and the year before. I believe it was the year before, but it was just last year. He was pretty good. And he's that guy that if he can get out of the pocket, he can make some things play or some plays happen and some, you know, I don't know.
He's just under 63% pass completion. That's not superior.
No. That's probably bottom half of the conference. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, he wouldn't throw it away and then he would get sacked like 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage or he would, I don't know.
He'd lob it up and the guy would come down and be a touchdown. It was one of the two.
Yeah, it was just, he didn't look like he was super comfortable in what he was doing. And so if we can get the pressure on him, hopefully we'll rattle him a little bit. That's like that.
Key to it. They've got a couple, what you were saying, Bryn, their receivers, they got two guys. Jacob Cowing, he averages 102 yards a game. Wow. Dorian Singer averages 93.
Dudes are good.
Right around 100 a game, and they average 13 yards and 15 yards per catch. So, hey, we got it's a challenge. Should we win? Absolutely, we should win. But injuries could put us in a vulnerable position, and if our D doesn't come and play like they did last week, it's a scary game. That's to me, that's the reality of it.
You know, it's crazy. I just looked it up. Utah is favored in this game, which doesn't surprise me. Did you see the line as of Monday night?
No.
So the ESPN predictor has this as a 95% to win. Yeah. Again, I agree.
Absolutely.
Depending on who our guys are, right? But they have us right as in this moment, it's a 17.5 point favorite for Utah. That's a big line.
Well, but
because of the uncertainty,
if Cam plays, if Bernard plays, if then for sure we're 17.5.
Look,
but yeah,
if Cam plays 17.5.
Yeah,
I feel like if it's Cam. If Cam plays, that swings everything massively in our direction.
I agree with that, but I think even if we can just get one of these dudes back in, it's going to help tremendously. I think Cam's obviously the guy, he's the it factor. He's the kind of, but if Cam can't play and we can get Thomas or Bernard, that's going to help. If Kincaid can somehow play again, because Kincaid was playing really well.
We'll see. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying our team, as the Utah team with all our guys, I'm 17 points. I take it. Absolutely. But
agreed.
There's some issues here. Now, I mean, substantial issues and a number of issues. Let's just hope they all or most can play and then we'll be fine. Otherwise, it's scare time.
Are we even going to do score predictions? Because how do you predict this?
You predict it. You put your name on it.
It's 35-21. No. Yeah, 35-21 Utah.
44-17.
44.
I don't know how you get to 44.
Yeah, how do you get to 40?
If we have Cam, I guess you do, but
I think Cam plays. I think if he was that close in the Washington State game, whatever the injury was, I think I know what it is, but if he was that close in the Washington State game, you give him extra 10 days extra. I mean, he didn't play, so it's not like he got more beat up. I think he plays. I think you have to
put all the vibes out there for Cam. Heal. Are there any like witch doctors? It's Halloween.
So I don't care what religion you are.
Yeah, pray.
Whatever kind of prayer you do, do it.
Let's get that injury healed up.
I don't care. Get out to the sweat lodge. Do whatever. Let's go.
I'd love to go to a sweat lodge. That sounds pretty
awesome. It does sound good.
That sounds good.
Like
right?
In February.
Yeah.
February. So you say it.
That'd be great, right? Go out, burn some sage, sit in a sweat lodge.
Something like that.
I've never done it before.
Cow pies.
Never done it before. Can't say I really want to.
Be great.
Okay.
Like the high-end one. Not like what they do on Yellowstone. Not like that one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to do that.
He has to go out there for like 4 days by himself. He's out there by himself.
I don't want that. I want like the high-end. It's like a $2,000 experience.
Well, that's not living the real thing.
He has all the visions
I want the smoke that gives me the visions.
Yes, but I don't want to work for it. I don't want to sit out in the
cold
for 4 days.
I'm just
going
to sit there and sweat and have visions for a couple of days and then come home.
I think you could arrange to have some of those.
Call Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron, that's a different smoke lodge.
It's all this.
Sweat lodge. I call it a smoke lodge. We've moved on to something completely different.
Okay.
Sweat, smoke lodge.
That's what's going
on.
By
me. I'm in. Call me up. Let's go.
All right, Bryn. We're going to have the weekly rant of the week. Bryn's weekly rant of the week. Lay it on us now.
I'm curious what the topic is.
I feel like, we've talked about this all the time.
It's tiring.
The damn Pac-12 referees. Why is this so difficult? We watch a lot of college football. You don't see this stuff happening in any other conference. Why is the Pac-12 so bad? What I'm specifically referring to is the USC-Arizona game on Saturday night. It's the end of the first half. USC's driving the ball all the way down the field. They hit like a 34-yard pass to get them on the 10-yard line. So it's a first down. So the rule states that on a first down, the clock won't start until you set the ball. So there should have been probably like 8 or so seconds left on the clock. They're all kind of getting together. Well, all of a sudden, the clock starts. By the time USC lined up and Williams was there, he was going to spike the ball so they could go for the end zone or kick a field goal or whatever, the clock was zero. And USC's looking around like, wait a second, what the heck? And the refs just kind of all look at each other. Arizona starts running into the locker room. And then the head ref just goes, that's the end of the first half.
It's so bad.
And that's how they ended it. And everyone's going, what? Like, they didn't even look at it. They didn't see what they did wrong. They didn't check it. And look, I've been very vocal. I don't like USC. I'm not a fan of USC, but they got screwed. And why does this keep happening almost every single week. We know all the issues we had with our game against USC, with all the weird clock management issues, and the refs didn't know what they were doing. Why does this keep happening in the Pac-12? Somebody fix it, please.
I don't understand why it is that this hard.
I don't.
I mean, even in our game, there were a couple of
the Washington State
spotting game. The ball, and it's like, no, it should be on the 44.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, it's on the 33, and you're like, and then they review it. I don't understand it. I'm with you.
This one is it's reffing 101. First page, 1A.
I know. Yeah,
this one was egregious.
Now, it's hard for me
to feel sympathy.
Feel sympathy for Weiner Riley.
I know.
But it's the truth. That was horrible. But the greater point is, come on, refs, what the...
Yeah, because it was our game. It was the game against USC. Like, these things you've never seen happen in a college football game, they keep happening in these Pac-12 games. Kliavkov, figure it out.
It's like every week you just expect embarrassment.
But it's awful.
It is awful.
It's awful.
Get some freaking targeting call. One week some guy gets his head ripped off. It's overruled. It's not targeting. The next game, some dude taps his head, he's gone.
Well, that's
stuff like that.
That stuff's stupid because it's subjective anyways, but this was the clock shouldn't start till you put the ball down. It started and then the clock just ran out and they just went, "Oh well."
I love how they did.
Lincoln Riley
they just kind of were like
eyes were going to blow out of his head.
I don't blame him. This time I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
Whining to the refs.
It was so bad.
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. I hate those guys, but yeah, they got screwed.
Excellent rant. Excellent rant.
It's awful. It's awful. Oh, I get applause.
Okay, let's move on.
I like that new feature.
That's been for a while.
I just forgot that button worked.
We've never earned it. That's why.
Okay,
I get it today.
Let's talk about some other Pac-12 games. Just a thought or two on the games.
Go.
Oregon-Cal.
Oregon
blew them out.
Oregon's rolling, baby.
Cal sniffed it for a very brief moment in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They were just thought, oh, maybe.
And then over.
Blown out.
Yeah. Also, welcome to all of our new Oregon listeners.
Ooh. It's true.
Wow.
Oregon.
Wow, they are salty.
We're glad to have you, but
we haven't even said
anything. We got some weeks.
Yeah, calm it down.
We've been complimentary. I don't know where all the hate's coming
mostly,
from.
I'm over here going, Oregon's looks incredible. Their uniforms were pretty ugly, and I'm just getting blown up.
I liked them, so what can you say?
Anyway, Oregon's rolling.
Oregon, yeah, they kicked the crap out of...
Also, it's Cal, though, so...
I know, but it was not even... They handled business. Okay, we mentioned this briefly, but USC Arizona.
Hey, Arizona was close. They got within two, and the only reason it was only two, it should have been tied, was because they missed the extra point. Arizona did before on their previous touchdown. So if they'd made the extra point, it would have tied the game. Unfortunately, then...
No, they were down by, 14 or something? And then Arizona scored at the end of the game to make it closer.
Tried to kick an onside kick.
Well, I'm talking about even before that.
Yeah,
Arizona could have tied the game. They came within two because they went for two and missed it. Yeah. So they kept it close.
Arizona was in the game.
Yeah, that game was a lot closer than I expected it to
be. Me too. But I'll give, again...
Credit where credit's due.
When you look at SC, there's been a number of games like that, and they just win. So
it's weird.
They've had some close games.
They do it. Okay.
They don't always just win, though. 43-42.
Oh, right. Yeah.
What else you got?
But they outplayed us. Yeah. Okay.
Scoreboard.
UCLA-Stanford.
Gall.
I was really hoping in that one.
I know.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Wasn't
that
close.
Hope was over it.
It wasn't close.
At the kickoff.
I kicked the ball off, and I went, oh, this game's over.
It was Stanford.
Stanford's so bad. Fold up the program, guys.
No.
Fold up the program. Hey, they beat Notre Dame.
Okay, just get a couple.
I know.
I think they should allow them only to have two majors and not three. I think it's getting in the way of their football now.
They need to be humanities majors. Come on.
Yeah, anything goes ahead.
Like the rest of college football.
God, so I'm trying to save
UCLA.
The world.
No sweat. Okay, let's go national. Ohio State, Penn State. That was 44-31 Ohio State.
It was closer than that score,
for three quarters.
Did you watch any of that game?
I was in Tooele at a soccer game.
I love Tooele. Great shooting out there.
Tooele.
In the desert.
That was a really fun game. Ohio State put the nail in the coffin, though, in the fourth quarter. It was crazy. It was just like back-to-back-to-back touchdowns to end it.
It like opened up.
It was nuts.
That was like the Ohio State that you expect to see.
Ohio State.
A lot of guys were getting their little stickers, Bryn.
Stupid helmet stickers. They're stupid.
People,
whoa.
Do you think the helmet stickers for Ohio State are stupid?
Yes.
That's what Bryn is saying.
We need to do a poll on that.
I'm in.
Actually.
I hate them.
Yeah, I don't.
I hate them.
I don't. I'm not that bad on them.
I don't.
Whatever
like
I should. What's the word?
Down on them. The sugar's running off.
Fake, dude.
It is. His high's coming down.
My synapses are like going.
Okay.
Oh, God. You don't mind.
I do mind like them.
You don't mind the helmet stickers.
No, they're okay.
No, they're dumb.
Okay. Wow, Georgia, Florida, Gators.
Gators.
That game, 42-20.
I know.
I'll say this.
Here we go.
I can accept losing to UCLA on the road. UCLA outplayed us. They looked good. They were a better team that day. Fine. That MFing Florida game.
I know.
It keeps me
game
up at night.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That hurt us.
It hurts. It hurts me to my soul. We should have a W at the Swamp. They kept it close. They got it back kind of respectable.
Yeah, well.
But, God, they stink.
No, they have
They're
not.
They're not good.
They've not.
Except, come on, man. But Georgia is a machine, dude.
Georgia's a machine. Georgia's a machine. Yeah. They're a buzzsaw that you don't want to play.
It's all over the field. It's not like one. It's not offense.
No.
It's not defense or this position group or just a couple position groups. That freaking team is like.
What's wild?
That's the problem. It's just like.
Uh-huh. Like a video game.
Yeah. It's like everything's turned to 99 and you're playing someone and you put them on 10.
Yeah.
What's wild is. They obviously won the national championship last year. They lost a ton of freaking dudes and then just reloaded.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And they are. And this week they play Tennessee. That is going to be a blast. So
what about Tennessee, Kentucky? That's the other game. Did you see any of that one?
Yeah, dude. Tennessee.
Tennessee, Kentucky.
Just bullied them. Tennessee is so much better.
This is another one.
Tennessee.
Where did they come
from? Bravo. I don't know.
I know. Where did Tennessee come from all of a sudden?
I'm cheering for them,
Brendan,
though.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
You hate Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry about that, but
they're looking good.
They're looking good. And their uniforms were filthy. All black with that orange.
Black and orange. Ooh,
that was nice.
And,
yeah, that was sweet.
And have you seen the video of the security guard dancing?
That was a great. Have you seen
that?
No, that is my favorite video. Okay, next to our
Rylan.
Dance team Rylan video from the USC game.
But they're different. Rylan's was just like. That
I know,
guy,
amazing.
That was amazing. I've watched that so many
the
times.
I know. Look up the security
I'll
dancer
show
with the
I'll
Tennessee
tweet it out.
The Tennessee dance team. It's amazing. I loved it. Loved it. I don't know. What time is that game? Do we even know? Georgia, Tennessee on Saturday.
Right, I hope it's in the afternoon before.
I think
our
I've
game.
Got it right. I think. Well, no, I don't.
Jeez, that's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out.
All right, we're going to ask some questions of everybody. Let's see.
That means I have to use my brain.
Your
Gary.
Brain has to turn on if you can.
I can't. It's been a long Halloween day.
It's been a long.
You ready, James?
I was at a third grade Halloween party today.
Okay, here we go. I'll give you mine after you give me yours.
Okay.
Well, it's at 1:30.
Sweet.
On Ooh. CBS.
So I'm not going to be able to finish it.
Georgia, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's huge, man. 1-2. Rank the top four teams in the Pac-12 right now.
In order?
In order.
Okay, I'll go first. I think it was Oregon. Shoot. Oregon, I'm going to say it. Utah, USC, UCLA. And it is so freaking close. Don't get pissed off.
Hey.
It is so freaking close.
Don't look at... Don't
don't cameras, pay attention to
people
them.
Aren't there. The cameras
and if you wanted
don't to, pay attention to them.
I mean, look, putting UCLA, yeah, they beat us. Okay, I respect that. It is so freaking close. I mean, look at the standings nationally.
I know.
We're like, what, 8, 9, 10, 11 or something like that? It's crazy. 8,
9, 10, 12.
So yeah. You went Oregon, Utah, UCLA.
No, USC.
USC,
UCLA.
Okay.
And it's, yeah.
Rin?
That's what I was going to do.
Well, good thing I went first.
I can't say it. I cannot say USC second. I just can't. I'm sorry. It's like there, but I can't do it. So Utah second, and then USC third, and UCLA fourth. Oregon first.
Okay, my order, everybody, is the true order. Oregon one. SC's two.
You can't say that.
I can't believe you said it.
UCLA is three, Utah's four. As of tonight.
I'm speechless.
It's because of what has happened. Relax. It's tonight. We've had a bunch of guys injured, dude.
Make me sick.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
Disgust me.
Move on. Go producer. To the next question. We can't even talk about this.
Okay. Here's a good one. Everyone can think this one through. I think we've mentioned this before. I don't know if we've done it like this, but do you prefer a passing or running offense? And what would your ratio be to that? In other words, do you want it 90-10 passing over running? What do you prefer? Leave it in the comments. What you think, people?
I went first last time.
I know, but I can't decide. If you know, then
you got your thought.
Yeah, everyone loves passing. Passing is so much more fun to watch than running. It's fun when you've got a great running game, right? But passing, that's the sexy move. Passing. So, I think Utah's like a 60-40 split pass to run.
I think it's supposed to be. I think they want it closer than that.
Yeah, that's probably where I'd put it.
I think Oregon's even closer than that. I don't know. Oregon fans, correct me.
Oregon fans yell at us in the comments.
It just seems like some teams pass more than they actually do, but when you look at their stats.
I don't want to be Washington State.
I don't either.
Who passes it 95% of the time and has no run game. So, yeah, I mean, passing's more fun to watch. 60-40. But if you got a great running back, it's pretty cool. I remember when we had Booker, it was great to watch. It
Moss.
Was fun. Moss, I think Glover's going to be that
We've
guy.
Got a long history of running backs.
Yeah, we do. Dudes in the NFL all over the place. So that's my two cents.
I like it when it's closer to being even. I mean, 50-50 is hard to achieve, so.
You try sometimes, depending.
But, yeah, passing sometimes has the more exciting plays and you get to see the great receptions, and we've had those, but sometimes you get those run plays where they run for 50 yards or whatever it is. But yeah, I don't like the, it's never like 70-30 running. I feel like it's
not anymore.
Not anymore, no. Unless you're Air Force.
Yeah.
Army.
Nebraska. Oh, wait. Nebraska have a football team still?
No, and that's those days are over.
What do they say? 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Iowa still play that kind of football.
That they just run it all
Michigan
the time?
Michigan runs it. There's running teams.
Hey, if you can do it really well, good on you.
You can control games. I mean, we've won a lot of games that way.
Yeah. When we had...
Okay, yeah, but I'm passing too. I'm probably... I would lean more like 60-40 or even closer. Because no way, you can't be so one-dimensional because if they take it away, you're done. You have to be balanced in my view. So at best, 60-40. It could even be tighter. Here's the question that we all hear it. You tell me if you believe it, agree with it or not. Defense wins championships.
We're having this discussion again?
I don't think we ever had it.
Yes, we've had
it. No, we haven't.
Not this year. We've had this discussion.
Okay, defense wins championships. You agree? I mean, what do you think? Yes or no, or
I think
false?
I think it used to be that way. it's gone so much more now where you have to have that high-powered offense. I mean, look at the high-ranked teams. Look at Ohio State. Look at Georgia. Yeah, Tennessee. Like,
they got defenses.
Ohio State doesn't.
Their D-line is insane.
Well, obviously you have to have both, but what I'm saying is I feel like the high-powered offenses are now becoming what you need to have in order to be competitive.
Yeah, I think that, God, that's a good question. I'm going to say, yeah, I think defense wins championships. I think that a lot of times it comes down to the defense making a play to win the game. And that's where the difference is. And you have to have that. Obviously, yeah, you got to be able to put points up, but I like the old adage.
I used to, but not anymore. I would say it's not as true as it used to be, maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's all relative. It needs to be balanced. But to me, when you look at the teams, it's offense. They're scoring 40 points or more. If you can't do that, you're in trouble.
I remember when the SEC used to call the Big 12, they would be like, that's not real football because they're putting up 48 points a game. And now the SEC is just like putting up 52 points a game.
Last question. Then we go to comments on comments. It is Halloween.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Halloween. Happy Halloween. Of these five, what is the scariest Halloween character of these five? I mean, there's hundreds.
Okay.
Okay.
Give us yours.
I might not have an answer because I'm not into scary movies.
It's not scary movies, necessarily.
Nick Saban.
Boom. No, he's okay. A vampire, a werewolf, a witch, alien, or a clown.
Hey, dude,
did you get that? So, which one of those is scariest to you?
Alien.
Yeah, aliens pretty freaking scary.
Alien. I believe in aliens. Aliens.
No, not aliens. Alien, the movie, the alien dude.
You said just character. You so said you're characters. Saying you didn't from say.
Yeah, but that's the reference,
movie.
That character.
So it has to be the movie.
That alien?
The character from the
what,
movie
which
Alien.
Is it? Then, if we're being very specific.
There's a bunch of different aliens.
That's what I'm saying. Aliens are scary.
There's a bunch of aliens. But you have to pick the alien from Aliens. Now,
the alien from Alien is terrifying.
That's terrifying. Freaking scary.
Yeah, that's a scary alien.
A great movie. Fine, we'll let it generally.
All I'm saying is I believe in extraterrestrials, so they freak me out. They freak me out. Go ahead.
I'm going alien too, especially
the alien alien.
From Alien.
With the little mouth that comes out.
Yeah, that dude.
And it gets in your all stomach. Those I'll take a witch all day, every day, over that dude. God dang.
Okay. And the eggs hatch.
Yeah.
Egg farm.
I'm gonna have nightmares now. Would you cut it out?
We should really watch it.
That movie holds its own.
Oh, yeah. Great movie!
And if you want, turn out all the freaking lights. Have everything as quiet as it can be. So you're in the dark, and turn up your sound system as loud as it can go, and watch that movie.
You know,
you will be freaked out.
I don't know if I could do it.
My failure.
Oh, you got it.
My failure of a father had me watch that movie when I was like 11.
I'm not kidding.
I heard your father was the best guy I've ever.
No. So I was terrified.
Traumatizing.
I didn't sleep.
He made you watch that when you were 11?
I wanted to because I didn't know.
Well,
of course you watched.
You deserved it then.
I was so scared. So I didn't sleep for like 3 days.
It's Alien 2 that's the best one.
Okay, Alien 1 and 2. Just watch them back to back in the dark. Full.
Back to back.
Okay.
Is yours different or is
yours
Alien?
Yeah, what's your answer?
Oh, yeah, I didn't give mine. Honestly, werewolves freak me out.
A werewolf is...
It scares me, man. A freaking...
Wolf man.
I mean, I think I wake up just in the middle of the year, not around even Halloween, and there's I can hear a werewolf. scares me. I like those things tear you up.
You gave her a hard time about believing in aliens.
Right, exactly. What's more probable?
A werewolf?
Really?
Does that make him Team Edward or Team Jacob then? How does that work?
Jacob is the werewolf. James.
But he doesn't like the werewolves.
All right, Edward there is you the questions. Vampire. We've got, we're running. So we're just going to go through a few comments on comments. Then I think we'll get to the jackass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to talk about that.
She's got it.
Call Iceman over
there.
Oh,
let's start with this one. We'll put a couple together. I'll just have to fly through some of these. This is from Mini Dragger. I suppose you're a woman, Minnie, but who knows?
Who knows?
It will be great to see your show after the Washington State drags the Utes up and down the field.
Weird.
Well, here we are, Minnie.
Here we are. Hope you enjoyed the show.
With our backups.
Yeah, our backups just beat your Cougs.
Ew,
how's
don't
that?
Say that. You just can't even. Ugh.
And Hayden. Upset alert, 35-28 Cougs. Cougs win it in a thriller ending. You were wrong.
Not even close.
Not even close, buddy. Lewis Birch. James was answering. We did the questions last week. And
yeah, I remember. Read it. James is right.
James was answering the questions truthfully.
Yep. I always answer truthfully.
Wrong. You're so wrong. Bryn and the other young man.
Oh.
Who's that?
Wow.
You're right.
You know the way to his heart.
Was answering the questions as fans. When you answer as a fan, you're not being honest. You know what?
Utah?
That's not true.
Football fans.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that if you answer as a fan, you can't be objective.
Look, James was due to be right every
James
once
was
in
kissing
a while,
up.
So... Kissing up to
who? Kissing up to who?
Anybody.
To Lewis.
Lewis, he was kissing up.
All right.
Lewis is my homeboy.
Gil Lawson. You've got at least one University of Georgia fan here.
Oh.
I stumbled across your show back when Utah, who I was pulling for, was playing the Florida Gators. Good luck. Well, Gil.
Thank you.
Right on, man.
You got a big game, Gil.
Gil, this is it.
I feel like we should get predictions on that game. Who do you got?
Oh my.
Okay, so
gosh.
Georgia, Tennessee. Where are they at?
Georgia.
Okay.
It's gonna be
Gil,
like a one
Georgia
point,
wins.
3 point. Like it's gonna be down to the wire.
I feel like Georgia wins too. That home field. Georgia's got the experience of big games. I feel like Georgia pulls it out, but man, it could be close.
I know we have some Tennessee followers as well. It's not a slam on Tennessee, man. They're good.
Hey, Tennessee wins,
saying,
good on you.
I'm just saying, I think Georgia pulls it out, particularly at home. That's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
Okay, Kirk Ellison. The details in those Oregon jerseys were legit, though. He was referring to our criticisms. Yes, I'm
your
a Duck fan.
Criticisms.
Finally feels good to see the Oregon's offense back like it used to be. Yeah, I bet it is.
After last year when we kicked your
we
trash.
We talked about this, though. Oregon, you guys got a little bit of a gauntlet coming up.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Oregon State, Washington, Utah in back-to-back-to-back weeks. So their toughest is yet to come.
I think this is Sean Strauss. Obnoxious Oregon fan here. Great show.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
You're right. Kept me laughing and kept it real. See? Go Ducks. Hey, you see?
You don't have to be jerks.
Oregon fans. We've got, what, 3-4 weeks before we play? What is it? Why all the
3 weeks?
Animus already?
I don't know. Because of last year, because we kicked their butts last year.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Just enjoy the show until we play ya. And
even
then we'll mute your
you
comments.
Enjoy.
Speaking of, Brad Blackman. Love your passion. Well, thank you. That's fandom. Go Ducks. Utah was better than us last year. Very impressive. Love you.
Thank you.
You're love right.
You. It was a blast last year.
You're absolutely right.
That's it. Are you going to read anybody slamming us? You just read a whole bunch of butt kisses.
No, he did it the first ones.
They did it for some. So that's comments on comments. Leave your comments, whatever they may be. We had a couple guys not get back on after we called them out last week.
It's weird how that happens.
The UCLA dude, Christopher. The
UCLA guys, yeah.
Who seemed to be on there 2 or 3 weeks in a row just writing epistles about how great UCLA he was is, and yeah. UCLA. And
yeah, I don't. We missed you last week. I don't know where you were.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Let's go to...
the jackassery.
Let's go to the jackass. Shall we?
I mean, this is not a surprise to, I think, anyone, but the Jackass Award this week goes to Michigan State for completely beating up a Michigan player. And if you haven't seen the videos, you can look them up. Basically, that game, you know, it's a huge rivalry, Michigan State. It was at Michigan. There's only one tunnel that the teams go in and out of to get to the locker room. Yeah. So
I always hate that.
Yeah, I don't like that either, but Michigan State had left the field already, so they were in the tunnel. Most Michigan team was still on the field, but one Michigan player decided to go back to the locker room, and a brawl ensued, which we've seen happen before, but this is different in the fact that there were Michigan State players kicking this dude while he's on the ground and beating him with their helmet.
Hitting with their helmets.
And so, I'm sorry, that's not a football brawl. That's assault. I'm going to flat out say it.
Yeah,
that's,
it is.
That's assault. If you're hitting someone with a football helmet, those dudes should be charged. They've been suspended. There needs to be bigger charges coming. Jackass. Like, I get rivalry. I get being pissed. You lost. You don't go after a dude like that.
Yeah, grabbing each other, maybe throw somebody down. All of that stuff on the field or whatever. But, man.
He's on the ground, and they're beating him up.
Beating him, kicking him.
Three dudes specifically.
And then a helmet.
And they were hitting with a helmet. In fact, Harbaugh, I can't remember if it's Jim or John. I don't know who's their head coach.
Jim.
But he said he would be very surprised if there wasn't criminal charges pressed. And there should be.
There should be in that
kind. There's video evidence of it. And it's pretty gross. Dude's kicking the guy. And he's just by himself.
Is he all right? I think
he's okay. I haven't heard. I feel like I would have heard if he was injured.
Scary, man.
It is scary.
And he can't fight back. I mean, there was like one against four.
Dude, a football helmet?
And then a football use. Anyways.
That's not football.
Is not. That goes too far. We all love this game. That goes way too far. So.
Back up small. Little J Jackass goes to Fox Sports. Your broadcast was.
Yeah. Good one.
Garbage, to say the least. And you couldn't even send the announcers to be there in person. So, mini Jackass Award goes there.
And you know what? I like that Witt kind of called that out today.
He calls him out today.
I heard that.
Because they were whining that they didn't know that Cam Risen wasn't playing, and Witt kind of said, well, what am I supposed to do? And who am I supposed to go tell? Yeah. They weren't even there.
Weren't even there. So, you're not there. Your camera guy was high as balls. The guy...
Yeah, he was.
He was just following whatever, and the play's over here, and he's just like... And I'm going... It was insanity.
I think he fell asleep a couple times.
It was
the camera just went down.
Awful production. So yo, great so work,
mini,
Fox Sports
mini
One.
Mini Jackass.
Yeah.
Okay. The big Jack, little Jack.
Little Jack. And the micro Jack.
All right, football fans, Utah fans, 5:30.
Say your
be
prayers.
Be there. No excuses. It's going to be, here's one thing, it's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold.
It might rain.
It might be raining.
Is it really?
Yes. Possibly.
So turning to snow.
But Arizona.
Welcome to the freezing cold.
Welcome to hell, baby. Be there. Let's do it.
Go Utes. I don't want to get wet in the rain.
I can handle the cold. It's when that precipitation comes down.
And then you get soaked and then you're like.
All right. REI.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.